Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Welcome to the Denver Broncos Week 1 Recap, name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. You can find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. Last night, the Denver Broncos went into Oakland, their last trip out there before the Raiders move to Vegas next year, and they lost 24-16 to begin the 2019 season. That performance last night was disappointing, to say the least. Offensively, I really was disappointed in Joe Flacco. I didn't have high expectations for him, but he was a problem last night. He was indecisive in the pocket. He was holding on to the ball far too long. He was sacked three times, and two of those sacks took the Broncos out of field goal range on, you know, somewhat promising drives for what the offense was doing yesterday. For a 6'6 quarterback, it seems like Flacco gets a lot of passes tipped at the line of scrimmage. The stats say that there was only one pass tipped, but I feel like I remember three or four of them, so I'm not really sure what was going on there. The offensive line wasn't great in pass protection. They certainly didn't do Joe Flacco any favors, but he didn't help them out by getting rid of the ball either. There were a couple different times he just stood in the pocket for what seemed like an eternity and then ends up taking the sack. Offensive lineman Juwan James hurt his knee in the first half. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. On a positive note offensively, looking at Cortland Sutton, he looked great. He had seven catches for 120 yards. He was catching deep balls. He was getting yards after the catch. That was fun to see. Hopefully he lives up to his potential from that second-round pick last year. And wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders looked healthy after tearing his left Achilles in December and undergoing ankle surgery in the offseason. He had five catches for 86 yards. And then rookie tight end first-round pick Noah Fant was a big part of the game plan. He only had two catches for 20 yards, but he was targeted five times. And he showed some good blocking throughout the game, so that was fun to see. I'm excited for the development of Noah Fant. Defensively, this was the biggest disappointment. I thought the Denver Broncos defense could be great this year, and they still could be, but last night was not the night for them. They were able to generate zero pass rush throughout the game. They didn't touch Derek Carr. He didn't get hit once. And when the opposing quarterback keeps his jersey clean, it's always going to be tough to win. In the secondary, Isaac Yiadom was attacked by Derek Carr throughout the game, especially in the first half. He was targeted multiple times. When you've got a corner like Isaac Yiadom that's second on the team with eight tackles, it's not necessarily a good thing. It's because he was giving up a lot of catches. And, he was near his man and able to bring him down. But eight tackles for a corner, I don't like to see that. Overall, I'd say the secondary was disappointing. Derek Carr was 22 of 26 for 259 yards. The yardage doesn't look great, but 22 of 26 it's just simply unacceptable for a defense, for a team that prides themselves on being able to shut their opponent down. But, you know, it's also, you got to remember with the secondary, it's tough for them to defend for 4 or 5 seconds each time Derek Carr drops back. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, the rest of the defensive line and linebackers, they've got to generate pressure on the quarterback for this defense to be successful. Without quarterback pressure, it doesn't matter what the secondary does. Guys are going to get open. I want to quick mention the Raiders safety, Jonathan Abram. He is to say the least, a big hitter. He only had five tackles in the game, but it seemed like every single one of them were solid hits. Anytime I saw Jonathan Abram on the screen, he was hitting somebody. He was hitting them hard, lowering his head. Broncos fans kind of reminded me of Steve Atwater. On special teams, the Broncos, probably the brightest spot of the game for the team. Brandon McManus did miss a 64-yard field goal attempt to end the first half, but it's 64 yards. I believe the ball was spotted on the dirt, too, so that's just kind of a tough kick. It was barely short of the crossbar. He almost had the leg. He connected on three field goals with a long of 39 yards, accounted for 9 of the Broncos' 16 points, and then punter Colby Wadman. It's unfortunate we got to bring the punter up in game one of the season, but that's just where the action happened. So Colby Wadman had three punts. He averaged 48 yards per punt with a long of 62, which was nice to see. far as injuries concerned, we'll touch on a Raiders injury first. There was a scary moment in the third quarter, I believe it was, when Raiders defensive back Garion Conley was attempting to tackle Broncos running back Royce Freeman. He was hurt by teammate Jonathan Abram. I already mentioned what a big hitter he is. Abram came in and put a lick on Royce Freeman, and his legs whipped around and hit Garion Conley right on top of the helmet, compressing his neck. So he was down on the sideline for several minutes. He ended up getting placed on a backboard and getting carted off the field. He did give a thumbs up to the crowd, and John Gruden reports that he's doing well. So hopefully that's not a serious injury for Garion Conley. For the Broncos, injury-wise, Jawan James, free agent right tackle, hurt his knee in the first half. No word on the severity of that. And then wide receiver Tim Patrick hurt his hand in the second half and left the game, and there's not an update on him either. So up next for the Broncos, they're going to be facing the Chicago Bears in the home opener at Mile High in Denver. It's going to be on Fox TV next Sunday at 2:25. Last week, the Bears opened the season on a Thursday night and lost to the Packers 10-3, where quarterback Mitchell Trubisky looked truly terrible. And you know, hopefully this is an opportunity for the Broncos defense to rebound and put together this type of performance we expect from them. And then for the Broncos to have a chance at beating the Bears in week two, the big difference we're going to need to see offensively is Joe Flacco has to be more decisive. He's got to get the ball out. Even if there's nothing there, get it out, you know, ground it. Just don't take those sacks. You can't get knocked out of field goal range. You can't lose that yardage because this offense isn't good enough to overcome that very often. And then defensively, we've got to be able to create a pass rush. Without that pass rush, the secondary, as I said, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter how well they cover, because if you're back there dancing around for 5, 6, 7 seconds, almost any quarterback in the league is going to be able to find somebody. Well, that's going to do it for the Week 1 Denver Broncos recap. This is something that I will do every week. So 16 regular season weeks of Denver Broncos football, and then hopefully we get to play into January. This has been Name Change Pending, and your host, Brian Priest. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest, at bpriest24, Tommy Girone, at ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel, at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.